Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. In the gospel lesson from Mark tonight, you have to love Peter for his good intentions. Peter professes his intention to remain faithful to Jesus no matter what. Now, something of that idea may sound familiar to each of us here in some form or fashion. How many times have I said, I'll never do this again or that again, with every intention of remaining faithful? How many times I've done that, I can't begin to count. But like me, Peter's intention was not enough. It was not enough to prevent him from betraying his Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not our intentions or choices that we trust in. It's the power of God alone that establishes our certain hope. It's the power of God alone that raised Jesus, our shepherd, after being killed on the cross, that gives us the surety of hope eternal. We become his sheep by the shed blood of the shepherd, and under his care, we'll never again be scattered. We will never again be scattered or lost, and not because of our good intentions like Peter, but because of the power of God in raising up the good shepherd after his having been struck down. Jesus quotes Zechariah when he says, "For it is written, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter." Since this is true, perhaps we should consider whether the opposite may also be true. Put it this way, raise up the shepherd and the sheep will be drawn to him. We have been drawn by God's Holy Spirit to the risen shepherd. And after Jesus, the good shepherd, was struck down as Zechariah prophesied, all the sheep, including dear Peter, indeed and in truth did scatter. That striking down of the shepherd is what we're remembering this Holy Week. Lent, the time of preparation, that is now behind us. We have now moved into the time of the Lord's passion, death, and his time in the grave. The shepherd is in the process of being struck down. And tomorrow night, the deed will be done. We remember it and we celebrate it in a solemn fashion. The price for our restoration to God is to be paid on the cross that brings down the shepherd. And we hear in Peter's words an echo of the truth of what Jesus actually does for us in paying for our reconciliation. Peter says in verse 31, "If I must die with you, I will never deny you." Now, think about it for a moment. There is truth. There is a truth about the Lord's work in those words of Peter. On this night, we celebrate Jesus establishing Holy Communion. And in his doing that, he makes promises to us. He promises to truly be in the bread and the wine. But he also promises that he is establishing a new covenant in his blood. His blood, that red mark of our salvation, is shed in his death and in his being struck down. And there in that is where the echo of Peter's words are. But it's Jesus, not Peter, who does have to die so that we are never disowned. Jesus' promises are what we take into ourselves as we take Holy Communion. Our souls are feeding on the promise of Christ to never, never disown us. As he said in Matthew 10:32, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven." In his body and in his blood, in communion, we acknowledge before the world that he strengthens the faith that he's given to us by grace alone. And that strength comes from his promise to never disown us before the Father in heaven. Through the words of Peter, then, we're given insight into two things. First, that we do fail. We do fail. Just as he did when, in truth, he did disown Christ. And so we're in the same state as Peter. And we too need rescuing from our failure of faith. But that second insight is that Jesus dies so that we will never be disowned. In his death, our failure is covered because Jesus does keep his word. He keeps his promise. That is mercy. That is comfort for us. That promise is what we were fed as we took Holy Communion tonight. Jesus has given his body and his blood as the covenant, as the guarantee of our place before our Heavenly Father's throne. Our falseness and our failures, like Peter's false promise, those things are a mirror that shows us all the broken promises that we've left behind in our path behind us. Our hope for the future is not based on that path of broken promises from our past, but rather on the path to the cross that Jesus himself walked. His path to Calvary is the path that leads to our brokenness being healed and our falseness being traded for his truth. That is our one and only, our true and certain hope. Now, there's one other thing to catch about Peter's words here. They miss what Jesus has just said. Yes, Jesus said that he would be struck down. The good shepherd will be murdered, and the sheep will be scattered. But then Jesus says in verse 28 that when I am raised up, I will go before you into Galilee. Now, it's true. Sitting here, we're not in the midst of that conversation between Peter and Jesus, and we all know that conversational details can be missed. However, we also have the advantage of having that conversation written down and having repeatedly read it over and over in our lives. But this particular detail is a big deal. Jesus is saying that, yes, he will die, and that he will be raised up, and that he will then go before them and meet them in Galilee after he has died. Peter, God love him, just seems to miss the point, just as we would have. And he's quick also, notice, to reject Jesus going to death to be struck down. Granted, his denial, we all know that his denial comes out of loyalty and love for Jesus. But he denies that Jesus should die nonetheless. When we come to communion, what we're doing is we are staking our claim on Jesus' death. We proclaim, we announce, we tell the world his death. We tell the world of his death by our taking communion. Jesus has said that we partake of the covenant in his body and blood. We all know that the covenant is a will. It's a testimony of death. So though we understand Peter's denial, and in truth we have shared in it, we also know that later Peter will also proclaim and announce that death of Jesus as the source of his own redemption and the redemption for the whole world. But tonight in Holy Communion, we've joined Peter in this proclamation, the proclamation of Jesus' death, and that our hope is in his work on the cross. In the end, the cross is all that we have. We will all come to the end of life one day, and we will face that day as the gathered sheep of the shepherd who died for us. Remember that the words of Peter echo the truth of Christ's promise to us. Though others deny you, Jesus says, I will not. Jesus, our good shepherd, will not deny us. This promise is what we feed on as we partake of communion. Our certain hope on the day of our death is that Jesus has promised to not deny us. We truly cling for dear life to Christ and his promise of life eternal with him, paid by him on the cross and guaranteed to us by his resurrection. In his name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth